we could get a hold of the truth of that. Songwriter said, all I need I find in Jesus. Well, the great men of the past said, all I want I find in Jesus. Oh my, what wonderful, wonderful truths.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to read a portion of three verses in three different books, and I want you to just listen. You're familiar with them, so you won't have to turn. And from these, I want to talk to you tonight from God's precious word. I got saved on August the 9th, 1965. In the following year, I enrolled in a Bible school. Not because that I was a preacher, but for the simple reason that I'd gotten saved and I wanted to know what the book said. And in my young, unexperienced age, I figured the best way to discover what it says is to enroll in the Bible school. So I did, and I started going to Bible school. I was scared to death, and I went on that evening to Emmanuel Bible College in Atlanta. When I went in and spoke to the guy that was there, he handed me a piece of paper. On this paper, there was a line drawn down through the middle. On one side of that page, it said electives, and he gave subjects. On the other side of the page, it said non-electives, and it listed a group of them. He said to me, young man, the electives is those that you can choose. But those on the right side, the non-elected, you will take. You don't have no choice in the matter. When I was studying and looking at these verses, I remembered that. And by God's help, I prepared a message on is missions an option? Is it an elective or is it a non-elective? Is this something I can choose to be involved in or is it something I got no choice in? Is missions an option? In the book of Acts in chapter number 4 we find these words. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We cannot. We got no choice. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 25, it says, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. In Mark's Gospel, our verse sits on the wall. And what we preached from last night, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're living in a church age when there's not much mission zeal left.
You're right.
As a result of that, we may say that we can count a great deal on this because Christians feel that mission work is an option. Because that we can include it in the church program, we can leave it out as the feeling strikes us. This is the church age that we're living in today. But I ask you, is missions an option? Is it a choice for us? Is missions just a decoration ointment? something to put up to look at just to decorate the church auditorium. Is it just some extra curriculum that we can add into the church program? Or we can leave it out of the church program if we don't want to get involved in it. You see, the Bible clearly teaches us that mission work is very commendable. But that it's more than commendable, it's compulsory. That means to say that God didn't give us a choice in the matter. He didn't say if you please or don't please. So you see, missions is not an option. This is not something Dennis Petty come up with. This is something that he saw when he was studying the scriptures. Three things, I'll be brief. Could I say to you that missions is not an option if Christ is paramount in your life? Notice I did not say if the souls that are dying without Christ and going to hell is a paramount in your life. I said if Christ is paramount in your life. You see, the only way that we'll ever reach the unreached is if he is preeminent in our heart and life. If Christ is paramount in our life, we cannot but speak the things which we have heard and seen. We cannot help it. You see, we're like Andrew. If you have found the Messiah, you want to go tell Peter about it. You see, Andrew found Christ, and the first thing that he wanted to do is to go look up Peter. Now, you see, you can have a Christless relationship and care nothing about mission. You can have a doctrine that you admire and you stand strong upon and care nothing about mission. But you cannot know Christ in a personal, paramount way and not care something about missions. Right. It's an impossibility. When you get saved, you want to see others saved. You don't care whether you know them or don't know them. Let me just illustrate. I know personal illustrations are not supposed to be given, but I don't know nobody's but mine. I was working for the post office in Atlanta when I got saved. I was raised in this area, just down the road. The only jokes that I ever heard was Jew jokes and black jokes. I cared nothing for the Jews. I certainly cared nothing for the black folks. I went back to work. And one morning early, I always clocked in before 6 in the morning. And this huge black man, huge, I mean huge, 6'7", 350 pounds, came to where I was loading a truck to come up through here dropping off mail. And for some reason, I said something to him. I said, could I ask you a question? Do you know Christ is your Savior? He said, no, but I'd like to. And I said to myself, what am I going to do now? I said, are you serious? He said, yes, I'm serious. I said, are you serious enough to get down here on your knees with me and ask Christ to come into your heart? And I found myself with my arm around a black man leading him to Christ. I was excited that the man wanted to know Christ. It dawned on me one day after that, that all of a sudden I didn't care who they was if I could win them to Christ. I went to church and they preached on Israel, Jerusalem. And I was all gung-ho for what was being said. And it dawned on me that I love the Jews too. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying when Christ comes into our heart and he becomes paramount, missions will become a part of our life. You see, I don't care where I ever see him down here or not, because I know I'm going to see him over there on the other side. And that's a wonderful truth to get into our heart. But the best truth is, I'm trying to point them to Christ because I've fallen in love with the Christ. It's because that's what he wants. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When it dawns upon you that Jesus Christ loved the Muslims as much as he loves you, when it dawns upon you that he would have saved Hitler if Hitler had trusted in the Savior, he would. What I'm simply saying to you is, Jesus loves the world. Listen to me. For God so loved the world. I know it's a shocking truth, but let me tell it to you anyway. God loved the world. Hold on. He didn't just love you. We always said, God loved me. And he did. But it was his love for mankind. Then the verse said, for God so loved the world, W. That W, whosoever in that world would trust in me. He said, I'll give them eternal life. He said, I don't care who, anybody, whosoever, covers everybody, in that world that I love, that'll trust me, I'll save them. Isn't that awesome? When he becomes paramount in our lives, missions is not an option. It's not an option. You see, I'm not preaching something I'm not involved in. When I started pastoring, I was already involved in the church that believed in missions. But when I started pastoring, a lady in my home church, my pastor was going to Jamaica to preach a revival for a missionary out of our home church. And she told the pastor, if you get Dennis to go with you, I'll pay you. She paid my way. I went with you. And on that first trip, I wrestled with God all night long. And God birthed missions in my soul. And for my whole pastorate life, I pastored 35 years. I've been involved in missions now for 14 and a half years full time. And I've been involved in missions ever since. I hope you'll come in the morning. I'm going to deal with faith promise missions. And if you let me show you from the scriptures, faith promise mission. Now the devil will say, you can't have that. But this Bible says you can have it. You can have it. I'll show you what God can do for you and through you. Now the world won't recognize it and they won't give a flip about it and your name will never be in lights. There won't be nobody patting you on the back. But you ain't home yet. You wait till you get home. Oh, my soul. What are you saying? I'm saying we cannot but help. You see, you and I have heard some. We found the Messiah. And the attitude of our heart now is not live and let live. Our attitude is to tell the old, old story. You see, it's an overflowing of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to share the love he's given us with others. It's our attitude now.
Philip Brox, one of the old men of years gone by, made this statement. He said, if the Christian faith does not cultivate and complete itself, hey, listen to me, in Christ reaching out to save the world, he said, I don't know what does. I thought about what he said, and all of a sudden my mind said, if I'm going to be loyal to Christ, I've got to give him my hands to reach out with, my feet to walk with, my heart to have compassion with, my mind to think his thoughts, the glory of God. I said, we cannot help but. Let me illustrate personal again. I remember that in my younger Christian life that my friends was always older than I was. And a dear friend of mine, his name is Bob Darty, he would come several times in my pastorate and preach revivals for me in my church. And if you knew Bob, you know what I'm saying is the truth. Bob was a grandfather and I wasn't. He was always whipping out them pictures and wanting to show your grandkids. He's always making a fuss and a big deal about his grandkids. I had contempt in my heart for him. And I said to myself, I said, if I ever become a grandfather, I'm not going to act like a monkey. Well, the day came when I become a grandfather. And to my surprise, I took on monkey-like habits. You see, things changed because something good had come into my life. And if you're a grandparent and a little grandkid crawls up in your lap and says, Papa, your head will go like this. Are you listening to what I'm saying tonight? When I got saved, I took on something good. And I want to tell others about it. Even if they think I act like a monkey. Are you listening? I'm saying to you, it'll happen in your heart and within your life. Good news to tell. Is Christ paramount in your life? Well, is he? You see, visions is not an option if Christ is paramount in our life. Second, could I say to you that missions is not an option because the passion of the church depends on them. You see, there would be no passion in this church to reach out there if missions wasn't in here. That's what missions is. Go ye into all the world. All the world. Here, there, and everywhere. The reason that the church, I know we're in the last days, but the reason that the churches across America are in the shape that they're in tonight is because we've lost our passion for a lost and dying world. He said, whosoever shall save his life. Everybody's looking out for number one. This Bible said deny yourself. Deny means X him out. You see, your problem is really not the devil. Your problem is yourself. It's that guy you shave every morning. It's that lady that you fix her hair. You see, what I'm trying to tell you is when we lose our passion for others, the church begins to drive. We take on dry rot. We suffocate. You see, the life of the church is the breath of God, and the breath of God is the Holy Spirit. And when he is grieved and he's not breathing in our midst, nothing is happening. It looks good, it sounds good, but nothing is changing. The thing that grieves me more than anything else, I guess, today is going in churches and people that are getting right with God never change. They say, oh, I'm saved, but their life didn't change. You see, when Christ comes in, we become a new creation. You become a new creation. You change. I struggled with assurance when I first got saved. I doubted my salvation in such horrendous ways. I suffered. I'd lay awake at night, scared to death. After I was saved, wondering if I had been saved. Of course, I know now why. When God gave me assurance, God allowed me, and did as a pastor, to help many people that doubted their salvation. He gave me a ministry of helping those who had problems with that very thing. But the thing that gave me some real assurance, the Word of God, yes. The thing that really gave me assurance was, I read where he said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old passes away, the old is gone, and the new has come. And all of a sudden it hit me. My life totally changed when I got. You see, I never had run, I never drank, I never smoked, I didn't do none of those things. But I had a filthy mouth. But when I got saved, God bust my cuss box all to pieces. The thing quit working. What are you saying? I'm saying, all of a sudden I recognized my life was changed. I got saved on a Monday night in a revival meeting. Mace Jackson was the evangelist. I got saved that night. Went every night to the revival meeting. Come Sunday, put my tithe in, and nobody told me to. I've been tithing ever since. I look back and I see God had changed my life. The next Thursday night, I was with my pastor and my Sunday school teacher out knocking on doors, inviting people to the house of God. Something happened. A change took place. There was a passion in my heart to see people come to Christ. Woo! Are you still with me tonight? Surely I hadn't run off and left you back behind. God so loved the world. Once you and I have been delivered from this world, we'll have a passion for the world. You see, missions is not an option. If Christ is paramount in your life, mission is not an option because of the passion of the church. Depends upon it. But last of all, missions is not an option. If the purpose of Christ matters to you. If his purpose, not my purpose, not my pastor's purpose, his purpose. What is his purpose? He said that everybody would be saved. He said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, that was the purpose. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Allow them to hear the message of saving grace. It's not an option, it's an obligation. Why would you call me Lord, Lord, and then not do the things which I ask you? Why would you call me Lord? There's a guy, his name was Archibald Rutledge. Archibald Rutledge tells this story that I'm going to tell you. One summer day, he left home to walk to town to pick up the mail. On his way to town, he noticed an old ragged coat thrown over a shrub bush. And when he got closer to it, he noticed that under the shrub bush, under the coat, was a dinner pail and an old shaggy yellow dog. He said he looked at it instantly. He said, I knew that it was a turpentine worker, and he had left his dinner there and his dog to watch his dinner while he was gone. He said, I walked, went on into town, and he said, I got my mail and a few things to do, and said, I started back out. And he said, I noticed in front of me, way up yonder, that the forest was on fire, and it already began to boil, and the smoke was boiling, and I had a good ways to go. And he says, I walked and said, when I got to where the dinner pail of the old ragged coat and the old yellow dog was there. He said, the dinner was gone. The old coat was gone. And the old yellow dog was gone. They were burned to a crisp. He said, I instantly knew that the old yellow dog knew how to get away from the fire. He said, as I stood there musing and thinking about, why would the dog just leave that? He said, I raised my head, and in the distance, here come a man. He was a turpentine worker, and said he was running with everything that was in him. He said, as I looked and watched him coming, said, I couldn't help myself. I hollered out and said, sir, I'm sorry, you're too late. Your dinner's gone. He said, I'm not running to get my dinner. He said, I'm running to get my dog. Said, I knew that if I left him to watch my lunch, he would never leave it till I told him to get up and leave it. My question is this. Could your master trust you that night? Could your master trust you that night? He left you in charge of going into all the world and preaching the gospel. Could your master trust you that night? You see, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm asking you the question. You answer it in your mind. Is that really what God wants? Is that what He wants? Is this really His will? Jesus, oh my goodness, says it's my occupation to go out and proclaim. Proclamation to go out and proclaim the gospel. But he never gave us a proclamation unless he gave it with a promise. Listen closely. Matthew chapter 20, verse 18. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. This word power here is a word that means authority and ability. The word that's translated here, I know you don't care about the Greek. You're not a Greek and you can't read Greek. But you see, when they translated the word of God from the original Greek to us, it comes from a word that had two meanings, authority and ability. So what he is saying is all authority and all ability is mine. In heaven and in earth. We can literally say all sovereignty is mine in heaven and in earth. I'm the king that's in control. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye. What's the next word? Therefore. Go ye therefore. When you read and come to the word therefore, you always go back to see what it's there for. And the word therefore is there to let you know that all power is going to talk to you and say, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's the declaration. Would you notice it's coming from a guy that has all power? He ain't no weakling. He ain't no pushover. All power is his. All authority. But he closes it with a promise. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You say, "I can't go out and do it." You got the strongest man in the world, will you? He said, "Lo, I am with you always." Not always, always. Even unto the end of the world or the age. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And all power is mine." And if you go out in proclamation, that is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, he said, "I promise you that all power will go with you." Is missions an option in your life? Is it an elective or is it a non-elective? You say, "I believe in missions." And I'm not asking you, do you believe in missions? I'm asking you, is missions an option in your life? Can you do it or reject it? You don't have to start off giving a big man. Start off with $5 a week. Prove God. He said, "Prove me herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not." Put him to the test. Now don't do it just to prove him. Do it in proving him because you want to do what he asked you to do. I guarantee you God will bless you. You cannot outgive God. It's an impossibility to do so. Now God calls some Christians, I don't want to mislead you in any way, God calls some Christians to suffer for him. There's some Christians that suffer in their life. The greatest one that you've ever heard about is the Apostle Paul. He said, "I want to show him what great things he shall suffer for my name's sake." And Paul preached and spent more time in jail than he did out of jail. And he suffered and suffered. But you see, God did that to get glory to his name. Absolutely. And when, of course, Paul's already in heaven, but he hadn't got his reward yet. You know why? Because the books that he wrote, people are preaching them, and people that get saved reading his books, God's marking it down to his account. He ain't got their full reward yet, but he will. I'm asking you, is missions an option to you? I'd think about it and pray about it. If I was you, and I'll say more about this in the morning, I'd spend time praying about what God wanted me to put on that card. I'll tell you why tomorrow you come in the morning. I'll tell you why you ought to pray about it. Absolutely. Never head bowed, never eye closed. Father, in this moment of quietness before you, we would say, "Speak, Lord, in the stillness while we wait on thee." Hush. Our hearts to listen with expectancy. Help us to have ears to hear, hearts to obey, will to say, "Not my will, but thine be done." Father, as best we know, everyone here is a born-again believer. If they're not, we want them to come. If they are, we want them to listen to your voice. And I would ask, dear God, you'd help them to listen to your mother. When Mary, the mother of Jesus, said in John 2 and verse 5, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to give you just a while. She's going to play or sing or whatever. And you responded according to God dealing with your heart. Would you do that?
So send I you, by grace made strong in triumph, or host of hell, or darkness, death, and sin. My name to bear, as in his name to conquer. So send I you, my victory to win. So send I you to take to souls in bondage the word of truth that sets the captive free, to break the bonds of sin, to loose death's fetters. So send I you to bring the lost to me. So send I you to bear my cross with patience, and that one day with joy to lay it down, to hear my voice, well done my faithful servant, come share my throne, my kingdom and my crown.
Wait for just a moment and muse over what it is that God is saying to us. I'm not trying to woo you to the altar. I'm not asking for an outward show. I'm asking for an inward obedience. Father, I pray you would burn your truths into our soul that we'd never get over it. We know tomorrow's your day. We ask that you would be pleased to meet with us. Lord, we want you to manifest yourself in the manner in which your word tells us. We pray, Lord, that preeminence would be given to you, and we, your children, would fall desperately in love with you. Thank you for what you're going to do for Gospel Life Baptist Church. Thank you for the heart that you've given this pastor for missions. I pray that you would burn and burden him more for your cause and your kingdom. We pray this in your blessed name.